Now, we've learnt that our unemployment rate here in Western Australia is up to 6.3%, jumping 0.6% in just the last month. Full-time jobs are also at five-year lows. This is, of course, with the mining and the flow-on effects of the downturn in our economy. But tourism is the buzzword here in WA. It's being spruiked as the industry which will boost our economy. We know that 4,000, that's right, 4,000 new hotel rooms will open in the next 4 years in Perth alone. We have Crown Towers to open in a few months, the W, Doubletree, Hilton, and of course the Ritz-Carlton as well, just to name a few. Tourism now employs more people in WA than mining, 97,200 jobs, representing 7.1% of WA's employment sector versus mining at 6.9%. Now, research done by the National Australia Bank indicates that across Australia, 46,000 jobs were lost in mining between 2013 and 2015. So if tourism is picking up and mining is in a downswing, where are the tourism jobs? And what jobs are available in the tourism sector? Bradley Woods is the Chief Executive Officer of the Australian Hotels Association, and he joins me here on the line this afternoon. Bradley, good afternoon to you.
G'day, Ollie.
Bradley, this is obviously welcome news for tourism. It's a bigger industry now than mining. But are we as a state, is WA ready?
I think it's a really good question. And I think the answer would be that as a total state, I don't think we're fully ready. I don't think we're fully positioned yet to take advantage of the huge opportunities that could be out there. And I think part of that comes from our ability to secure visitation and tourists, particularly from emerging markets like the United States, East Coast, China, Northern Asia, and other parts of Southern Asia in particular. But on top of that, of course, is increasing our share of interstate travellers that are coming out of the East Coast. If we can secure much greater visitation, we're going to fill those rooms. If we fill those additional 4,000 rooms, there's more housekeeping jobs, there's more hospitality workers filling minibars, there's more people working in restaurants and cafes and restaurant bars, there's more people working front of house, concierge, check-in, there's more people who are working on the service side, whether it's engineering, carpentry, providing the services to do the painting and the refurbishment and the redevelopment of those properties. The tourism sector, the hotel sector, is not just about beds, food and beverage. It's about all of the service sectors that lead into it. It's about the farmers growing the produce and the meat, the fish, the dairy, all of the agricultural elements that go towards feeding those tourists as well, Ollie. And that's why tourism and hospitality does offer such huge opportunities if we get the matrix right and if we get the opportunity secured now to grow it into the future.
And that's it. That's where we need to direct people into jobs. Very hard, though, I imagine, Bradley, if you've been working in the mining industry earning $100,000 or more in that particular industry when the jobs on offer in hospitality don't necessarily pay as much. How do we entice those people who have been made redundant or are looking for a change in their career to work in hospitality? And yes, while it might be less pay at first, trying to sell the advantages of there being a real career in the hospitality industry?
Well, I think it's about our industry taking opportunities to have greater permanent part-time and greater full-time staff who've got a longer-term commitment to developing those positions, to having a greater number of visitors that give our businesses the certainty to provide more full-time employment. The reason why we have so many casuals is because of the seasonality of our businesses. You know, penalty rates force many smaller businesses on Sundays and public holidays not to open, which means there's less employment and less jobs. If we had more moderate penalty rate hours that were fluid across a seven-day week as opposed to these huge fluctuations on Sundays and public holidays, we would have a much better chance of offering people full or permanent part-time employment. They're just small examples, but they contribute to the overall picture. The other side of it, of course, is explaining to people that, you know, we're a different sector to work in. It's actually quite exciting and it can be fun. Yes, it's not going to pay as much. We're already an expensive destination. Our wage rates internationally are the highest in the world in terms of hospitality. We're twice as much as Europe. We are 110% higher than the US.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's an expensive industry comparative to our international competitors. So the answer is not for us to be paying a huge lot more. But unfortunately, there is a reality that if people have been working in the mining sector, have had enormous paychecks, just as everyone else is realising that the boom is over, the boom is over for those higher salaries as well in that sector.
It's obviously during the boom as well, there was a lot of cherry picking of particularly good staff who could get greater salaries working in the north of the state as FIFO workers. One of the criticisms directed towards our service industry and hospitality has been it hasn't quite been up to the up to scratch, really, of other destinations. You mentioned other countries as well. How is our service sector performing now in hospitality? Is the standard there, particularly we've got a six-star hotel in the Como Treasury open, and we all obviously have Crown Towers about to open. Are the right people employed here in WA? Are there the jobs available as well for those people at the very high end to make sure that they're getting that service that the people who are coming to our state, to visit our state, are demanding and hoping to achieve while they're here on their vacations?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Ollie. And you know, that's probably one of the fundamental changes we've seen in the last 5 to 6 years around the dedication of the professionalism of individuals within the industry and their commitment to that professionalism. The level of expertise, the level of detail, the level of resource knowledge that, you know, we've got in sommeliers and people who understand the food menus and really get into understanding, you know, the gourmet elements, I suppose, whether it's in a pub or it's in a fine dining restaurant, the level of I suppose, of service that we've seen has dramatically improved. CHOGM was a real change in the way in which the industry committed to customer service training and the commitment of staff to customer service. The AHA's trained about 14,000 people over the last 4 years in customer service skills alone through the Service with a Smile program we introduced. We know that there's plenty of other organisations out there doing customer service training. And I think if you talk to the average West Australian who goes out, they would say that compared to 5 or 6 years ago, the service standards are better. They can never be perfect and they will always be better than what they are now, but it's a lot better than what it was, say, 5, 6 years ago.
And 5 or 6 years ago as well, I believe the AHA undertook a recruitment drive to Ireland to find more people to work in hospitality here in Western Australia. Why was that the case? Is it more over Bradley Woods that a lot of Australians don't want to really roll up their sleeves and work in hospitality, or is that now shifting? Is that changing?
Well, that's changing. I mean, that was a result, Ollie, of the mining boom. And it was a result of all of those people who would otherwise work in hotels and restaurants and bars moving up onto the mine sites, moving up to the mine site wet messes and the food facilities there. And we literally had to find staff from somewhere. So, you know, UK, Ireland were perfect examples where we did recruitment drives. We had a lot of people coming out of Korea, Europe, even Japan, who were working up in the northwest of the state. We still have regions of the state that are short of labour. The Commonwealth government's proposed massive tax hike on backpackers is a real concern for us because that's part of our industry. But it also means there's more opportunities for Australians to find jobs if they're willing to travel and to take jobs in the southwest or the northwest of the state. But people have got to be flexible as well, and that probably suits more the younger market and the younger people than it would someone with a family who's sort of more located in Perth. So it's horses for courses, and everyone's needs are different, and that's the nature of our sector, is it's so diverse with the different types of businesses and the geographic location, is there should be something for everyone as long as you've got the right attitude. And what we hire for is attitude and aptitude, and we can then train people and give them the skills to be able to do the job effectively.
Are there any particular jobs or skills that we have a shortage of here in Western Australia in the hospitality industry?
Chefs are a perfect example of where we have difficulties. There are a lot of chef apprenticeships and traineeships available because we are short in that area. And if someone has a passion for food, a passion for that sector, not-for-profit companies like Hospitality Group Training are looking for young people right now to get them apprenticeships, and they will find jobs for them in hotels and restaurants and mentor them for 3 years. And, you know, that's all part of those types of organisations' remit. In food and beverage service, there's always positions going for the right people. The other side of this, Ollie, not everyone is suited to work in customer service as well.
Yeah.
Some people are better working behind a desk and being, you know, processing or administrative or computer or science, whatever it might be. But for those that do love people, we're a people industry. And for those that like getting out and interacting, the kinesthetic side of things, doing things with their hands and being out and about and being on their feet, it's a great industry to do that in.
Well, there's obviously, as well as we mentioned, Crown Towers opening only a few months. There's dozens of jobs available there. I took a look on their website a little earlier, you know, from whether it be bellboys, concierge, dining staff, whether they need massage and beauty therapists, for example, fitness instructors, front of office attendants. There's a lot of doom and gloom we talk about in Western Australia, but there are plenty of opportunities for those willing if they want a job in tourism and hospitality.
There are. You mentioned the 4,000 rooms. It equates to $3 billion worth of new hotels being built. $3 billion worth of hotel infrastructure is being built by the building community, the tradies that are out there. There's a lot of work and business for those guys. But then when they're finished, there's going to be jobs in food, beverage, accommodation, as you said, everything from spa services to front office, bellboys and everything in between. There's a lot of opportunity. I'm actually very confident and very positive that if we can get the right promotion, we can get state and Commonwealth government working together, Tourism WA, Tourism Australia, the airlines, the AHA, Tourism Council and everyone on the same page, we will get more visitation to our state, which means more wealth for all West Australians.
Bradley Woods, thank you for your time this afternoon.
You're welcome, Ollie. Cheers.
That is Bradley Woods there, the CEO of the Australian Hotels Association. As he just mentioned there, we have $3 billion, that's right, $3 billion worth of new hotel rooms, 4,000 new hotel rooms to be built between now and 2020. There are plenty of jobs and opportunities in the hospitality and tourism sectors. But would you be interested if you are unemployed at the moment or if you have been working perhaps in the mining industry and you've lost your job, would you be interested in transitioning into the hospitality industry? Perhaps walking away from salaries that have paid in excess of $100,000 to start a new apprenticeship? I'd love to hear from you this afternoon. 92211882 is the talkback number, or on the SMSs 19999677. We've got some breaking news this afternoon. There is a crash at Canning Highway at Stock Road westbound, which is completely blocked the area. So the advice this afternoon is to avoid the area. If we have any further information or updates, we will bring it to you this afternoon on Drive. And it's 19 minutes after 3. You're on 882 6PR Drive with Oliver Peterson here this afternoon for Adam Shand.